Over the past century, aviation has changed the way people travel around the world. Unfortunately, it's also changing the world itself. Flying is currently responsible for about 2% of all carbon dioxide emissions, and it's only expected to increase over the coming few decades. But carbon dioxide emissions only tell part of the story. David Lee runs the Centre for Aviation, Transport and the Environment at Manchester Metropolitan University. He explains that the particles planes emit can also have big effects.
First of all, at ground level, particles are obviously a big issue to do with local air quality and human health. But at altitude, particles are involved in the formation of contrails. Contrails are the white stripes of ice crystal clouds that you can sometimes see behind aircraft. Sometimes they remain and they spread out and they form an ice crystal cloud formation called contrail cirrus. And we know that formation of contrail cirrus has a warming effect. And on putting that in context with the other effects of aviation, it's about the same order of magnitude of effect, the contrail cirrus effect, as the cumulative CO2 effect from the global fleet.
Of course, many industries are looking for ways to lower carbon dioxide emissions, and aviation is no exception. But while cars can be made electric and coal power plants can be replaced with solar and wind, things aren't so straightforward for planes.
The possibilities are far more constrained for the aviation sector. In terms of the mitigation possibilities, they're very efficient engines as they stand. You know, they're one of the finest technological beasts on the planet already. So it's actually difficult to squeeze more effectiveness out of them. And they're highly dependent upon liquid fuel. So we're pretty well reliant at the moment on burning a kerosene-like fuel.
But where this fuel comes from isn't necessarily set in stone. At the moment, it's sourced from oil, dug up from the ground. But it could instead be made, either from plant or waste materials. Growing the materials to make these biofuels would effectively suck carbon out of the atmosphere, lowering the net carbon dioxide emissions once they're burnt. But what about the particles that David mentioned? A study out this week takes a look at what happens to these particles when biofuels are used in flight. Here's Rich Moore, who led the study.
The goal here was to understand what happens when we blend half of the fuel that the jet engine is burning with biofuel. Past studies on the ground have looked at the air quality impacts of what happens to the air around an airport, or what are the emissions when a plane is on the ground when burning one of these biofuel blends. But no one has really looked at what the engine emissions look like in flight at real atmospheric conditions. And so those conditions are very different from what we see on the ground. And it's much colder, it's much drier, and the pressure is a lot lower.
But measuring the emissions under these conditions requires some pretty specialized kit.
NASA has a four-engine DC-8 aircraft. And what we did was the advantage of using that aircraft is it has different fuel tanks. So we could feed different fuels to different engines. And so what we did was we had the NASA DC-8 take off from one of our centers out in California, and we chased it with three different aircraft. And we would draw air in from the outside when we were in the plume and pass it to these instruments that measured the concentrations of particles and gases in the exhaust stream.
Taking measurements while flying is quite unlike research in the comfort of the lab. Rich was in one of the planes that was taking chase in the exhaust stream.
I would describe it like driving a car with worn shock absorbers down a rutted dirt road. The most dominant indicator that we were in the plume was you could feel it in the seat of your pants because you could feel that vibration.
Fortunately, this bumpy ride produced results. Rich and his team were able to measure whether burning biofuels had any effect on the particles that the plane was emitting.
We looked at the engine emissions under a variety of different conditions at a variety of different altitudes, and what we found was that as we blend biofuel, the petroleum fuel with a 50-50 blend of biofuel, we reduced the particle emissions, the soot particle emissions, by about 50%. And so what these results show is that If we reduce the CO2 as a co-benefit to that, you also reduce particle emissions and the associated warming associated with contrails and cirrus clouds.
David Lee, who we heard from earlier, was impressed with this study. But he's wary of assuming that reducing the particles necessarily means reducing warming.
If the reduced particles resulted in lower contrail formation, and that's a bit of a big if because that experiment didn't actually address that, that's certainly good for ground level and human health effects, and it's potentially good for lesser contrail cirrus formation.
Even so, a reduction in these particles, as well as the reduction in CO2 emissions, is good news. So then what's stopping the world's planes from switching over to biofuels tomorrow?
Technically, it's feasible. Economically, it's not at the moment. Even to actually undertake these experiments, there is not enough biofuel around. So that gives you an idea of how little is produced at the moment. It has to be produced on commercially feasible scales. That's likely to take a little while, but the fuel producers want to do it, and the aviation industry wants this.
That was David Lee. You also heard from Rich Moore, who's at NASA's Langley Research Center in Virginia, US.